Amen. Amen. Our God is worthy of all of our praise. Always is. I would encourage you to always keep praising Him all week long. Hey, a couple of updates really quick before I jump into today's message. One of them would be that, of course, even though we're not at the church, the needs of the church don't change. So I want to commend you, as I have throughout this whole ordeal, for your generosity. I want to encourage you to still be faithful in your giving. You can get through our website, through our app. You can mail it in, however you would get that to us. But there's no drop box today in your house for the offering. So just want to encourage you to continue to be faithful in your giving. Another thing would be that this week we have rescheduled our drive-through Living Nativity. It's going to be awesome with live animals and characters and all. But a number of our folks who were connected with it, self included, can't be there. So we've actually rescheduled it for Monday, December 21st. I hope you'll still plan to join us. It's going to be awesome. You'll just drive right through the lot. You'll be able to see it with live animals, the Bible characters and everything. It's going to be tremendous. So that's upcoming. This week, we will do something from home for Wednesday evening as well. It looks like we may get a massive snowstorm on Wednesday, so we'll see how Wednesday goes all together. Watch your emails and social media so you know what's happening as we go throughout the week. But hey, I started last week looking at the account in Matthew of the wise men coming to visit Jesus when he was born. And I want to continue with that today as we're looking in this series of this message titled, We Have Seen His Star. And today we're looking at something that happened after the star was there. So I'm going to start by reading verses 1 and 2 from Matthew chapter 2 and then step off of that to encourage us today. It says this, After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. We're going to begin there as we keep walking through this account of that visit from the wise men. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you. I thank you for your word. I pray that as we consider today some things that happened following that star, Lord God, and that visit from the wise men, I pray that you'll help us to receive from your word, receive the truth from it, and apply it in our lives, Lord God. We trust you for that in the strong name of Jesus. And church from home, if you would pray with me right now and just pray, Father, speak to my heart through your word, and I pray healing over Pastor James in Jesus' name. Amen. I hope you prayed that prayer. I appreciate it greatly. Hey, Christmas is a celebration that really appeals to all five of our senses in so many different ways. My wife loves Christmas, so do I, but she's the real decorator out of the two of us. And my home gets transformed into a bit of a winter wonderland come Christmas time. She has a collection of snowmen and nativity scenes, and it's beautiful the way they're all set up. And Christmas is beautiful like that in so many different ways. And as I mentioned, it appeals to all of our senses. We have our five senses, of course, sight, touch, smell, taste, and sound, hearing. And thinking about that, I asked a few folks this week to help me, and I'll ask you now at home as well, a few questions. Even though I just want to hang out on the last one today, you could type in your answer or just answer in your own head or out loud with your own family as I ask these questions. But think about these questions with me as I walk through them. The first one is, what does Christmas look like? Thinking of our five senses, what does Christmas look like? I asked some folks that this week, and I got some great answers. I got answers like Christmas looks like lights and red and green and brightly colored packages. Christmas looks like decorations and children laughing and all sorts of answers that I heard when I asked people, what does Christmas look like? And Christmas looks beautiful. We know that it really does. When we decorate, when we set up our own sanctuary, we're not in it now, in the lobby, it's decorated beautifully. Folks come in, Christmas looks great. I'm not on sound yet, but my dog is barking downstairs. I'm at home, so maybe we'll get to that when we get to what does it sound like. But anyway, it looks great. Now, the first Christmas, of course, didn't look like that at all. Things looked very different. Jesus was born in a very humble set of circumstances, and we know he was laid in a manger, just a a feeding trough that animals ate out of, barnyard animals no doubt around. It was a very simple, humble setting altogether as Jesus was born. But today it looks pretty magnificent. Well, let's keep moving along with that. That's what does Christmas look like. What does Christmas smell like? Boy, there'd be some great answers to that one as well. What does Christmas smell like? I asked that question to some folks this week as well, and I got some great answers. It smells like Christmas cookies, and smells like turkey or ham, and I think Melissa said it smells like tamales. It never smelled like tamales in my house when I was growing up in Virginia, but I guess if you were growing up in El Salvador, it could have. But Christmas has some great smells to it. It also smells like peppermint mocha and evergreen trees, and Christmas smells really good. Christmas smells great. Well, the first Christmas smelled different also. The first Christmas was within a farm-type setting. In fact, the first one must have smelled pretty bad. When Jesus was born, it would have smelled... I mean, I grew up around farms. Even if you didn't, maybe you've been around them. They sure don't smell good. In fact, they just reek at times. So where Jesus was born, it probably didn't smell all that good. It would have been a lot different than how Christmas smells now. Let's keep moving along with these. What does Christmas taste like? What does Christmas taste like? Man, I'd love to hear your answers to this one. Christmas tastes good also. In fact, our plan for today, had we been in the sanctuary, is when I ask this question, what does Christmas taste like? I'm just going to say this to rub it in. Our ushers were going to come into the room, and they were going to hand out individually wrapped, decorated Christmas cookies to everyone who was present. Now, if you were home, you would have had to have gone to get your own cookie anyway. Since we're all at home, we'll all have to do that. But there is just these four big baskets filled with individually wrapped Christmas cookies in my office that were ready to be handed out. And since we're not doing that today, when I'm able to get back to the church after my time of quarantine, I will just eat all those cookies myself. But, well, maybe not. I'll share with Jorge. Christmas tastes good. It tastes like Christmas dinners when we get together and we think of all the foods we eat around Christmas time. It tastes great. Well, I don't know what Christmas would have tasted like when Jesus was really born. I'm not sure what they would have eaten. Maybe their food still would have tasted good. But again, I'm just talking about our five senses as I'm walking us into that. So that's our next one. But so that brings us to the fourth one. It brings us to the fourth one, and that's what does Christmas feel like? What does Christmas feel like? When I asked several folks this week, I texted some folks, asked them in person about this. Of course, before the COVID test. I could text them afterwards. Three different people all responded with the same word. They said, Christmas is cozy. And I heard some other ones as well. So one person said to me, Christmas feels like a comfy Christmas sweater. Christmas, it feels good to be with folks that we love, to encourage one another. Just the serene nature of the season as we gather together and things like that. It feels good. The first Christmas as well, no doubt would have felt very differently. Being born in an outdoor or stable or some type of animal enclosed setting, a baby being wrapped in swaddling clothes, just strips of cloth, and laid in hay in a feeding trough. It doesn't sound like it felt very good. I'm sure Joseph and Mary did their best to make it comfortable. I'm sure Joseph would have tried to make his wife comfortable after having the baby and all, but I'll tell you, it doesn't sound like it would have felt very good. And having a baby sure doesn't feel good. I don't know from personal experience, but I've been there a couple of times. So it feels a lot different now than it did then as well. And then we come to this last one. And I'll hang out on this one for a little bit, but I'll be much briefer today altogether than normal because I need to get back to bed. But the last one is, what does Christmas sound like? What does Christmas sound like? Christmas sounds good. Christmas sounds like Christmas carols. And you could think of your favorite Christmas carol or song. It sounds like Joy to the World and Angels We Have Heard on High. It sounds like Silent Night and Away in a Manger. It sounds like Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Sounds like some modern Christmas songs as well that we know. It sounds like Jingle Bell Rock and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and Frosty the Snowman. It sounds fun. It sounds good. It's a time of, Christmas sounds like a laughter. It's a time as folks get together and it sounds like folks just laughing and talking. And I know this whole COVID season is so different and it changes a lot of the dynamics of this. But generally speaking, when we think of Christmas, Christmas really sounds good. Well, the first Christmas would have sounded very different as well. We actually find the Christmas story in two different books of the Bible. Now, the prophecies about it come in a number of different books of the Bible in the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, there are two books of the Bible that give us accounts of Jesus' birth. We find Jesus' birth in Matthew, and we also find it in Luke. The stories are actually very different. Maybe I shouldn't say very different. They highlight different details. They both tell the same story. But Luke tells a story that's kind of a pretty picture and a pretty story. Luke, who may have been Jewish, we're really not sure. He's not one of the 12 disciples. Luke wrote the Gospel of Luke by interviewing people, meeting with people, and putting together the account that he wrote. And he writes a story that is a story of shepherds and shepherds coming and to bow down at the baby. He writes a story of angels singing. Angels singing glory to God in the highest. And when we picture Luke's Christmas story, we picture Joseph and Mary in their humble setting there with Jesus in the manger, and shepherds coming in from the field, and shepherds returning amazed and awed over what they had seen, and the angelic visitation, suddenly a multitude of the heavenly host appearing. It sounds great. Everything about Luke's Christmas story sounds fantastic. I know it's humble, but it's pretty. Luke's story is what makes it onto our Christmas cards. It's what we set up in our manger scenes. It's how we do our Christmas plays. Luke's story is an attractive story. Matthew tells a different story, both equally inspired by the Holy Spirit to write their books, but Matthew, who is Jewish and who would have lived through the ordeal of foreign occupation and the oppression of the Roman Empire, he writes a real tragic story around the Christmas story by comparison. Matthew's Christmas story is a story of deception and deceit. It's a story of people escaping for their lives under the cover of night. It's a story not of angels singing, but of angels warning people in dreams that their lives are on the line and that they have to get out of town and hide or they're going to get caught. And the worst part of all of Matthew's story is the story of the murder of every little baby boy, 2 years old and under, in the town of Bethlehem in an effort to try to kill Jesus. In Matthew's story, Christmas sounds terrifying. It sounds horrific. I know the wise men come and present their gifts, but outside of that, the story is a frightening story that we read of. In fact, to answer the question, what does Christmas sound like? We find it in Matthew 2, verse number 18. It says this, Matthew 2:18, "A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more." That's what it sounded like after the wise men were there when they left. It sounded like crying. It sounded like weeping. I mean, think about it. What does it sound like when babies are snatched from their parents' arms and put to death? You know, parents didn't simply go along with that. They fought. Who knows who else was killed in that process, or at least severely injured, in that whole effort to save a child. It's a terrifying story. That's the world that Jesus was born into. Jesus was born into a world of oppression, into a world of chaos. He was born into a world where people cry. The Prince of Peace was born into a world where everything really was not peaceful at all. He came to a world where people cry. This Christmas is going to be different for a lot of people. Many have lost loved ones, sadly, tragically. Now, that's always the case, but it's been magnified this year. Others have lost jobs through all of this. Stress has been higher. Stress has been higher due to COVID. Stress was higher surrounding the election. Stress has been higher this year just surrounding the cries for justice in our nation. 2020 has been a very different year. It's not that it's been the worst year ever. There's been some crazy years along the way. We get that. But it's been a tough one in a lot of ways for so many people. And into a year like 2020, into a world that still has a lot in common with the world that Jesus was born into, we need the Prince of Peace. We need the Prince of Peace. What happened in Matthew was horrifying. That's when Jesus was born. But God heard those people cry. He always does. He always does. In fact, the Bible tells us that He stores our tears. That's incredible for me to even think of, that God stores our tears. Obviously, there's a supernatural component to that. But still, the Word speaks of that very specifically. But God has always heard people when they cry. In fact, the Bible specifically refers to God hearing people when they cry. God heard Adam and Eve when they cried after they had fallen. God heard Hagar cry as she sat alone and wept in Genesis 21:16 when she had been treated so unfairly. The Bible says that God heard her cry. God heard Abraham when he sat and cried when his wife died. That must have been very painful. In Genesis 45:2, where the Bible says that Joseph wept aloud, God heard him. God heard him. In Exodus 3:7, when God was speaking to Moses of his people in slavery, he says to Moses, I have heard them crying. I have heard them crying. God heard David cry when he lost his son. God heard Job cry when Job cried and felt that he had had all that he could take. God heard Nehemiah, who cried for days over the distress of his people. God heard Jeremiah cry when he said his heart had grown faint within him. Jesus was born into a world where people cry, and God had heard all of them. God had heard everyone who had ever cried, from Adam and Eve all the way up to those who were crying that night in Bethlehem. But not only that, but God, who is the first and the last, God who is the beginning and the end, our God who is the Alpha and the Omega. Not only was Jesus born into a world where God had heard everyone who had ever cried, but God was able to look forward in time to everyone who ever would cry. From the Garden of Eden to Bethlehem, and from Bethlehem all the way forward to you and to me. Every time I have cried, God has heard me cry. He's heard you as well. Every time I've been distressed, every time you've been distressed, God has heard as well. The Prince of Peace came into a world where sometimes things just don't sound good. And in fact, sometimes they sound terrible. That's the world that Jesus came to. That tells me something. You see, Jesus was born into a world where people still had a lot of problems. What happened in Bethlehem was tragic and horrific, but there were other problems as well. Jesus was born into a world where someone was still sick. Jesus was born into a world where someone was still out of work. Jesus was born into a world where someone was struggling in a relationship. Jesus was born into a world where someone was struggling to pay their bills, or maybe just couldn't pay their bills. Jesus was born into a world where someone was having a tough time in school. But the Bible tells us that the Prince of Peace had come. You see, peace isn't found in the absence of problems. Peace is found in the presence of Jesus. Remember that. Peace isn't found in the absence of problems. Peace is found in the presence of Jesus. Praise God. this is a good time to be reminded of another account. And I'll use this to kind of wrap up. I'll be briefer than normal today. At least I think I'll be. I don't know how long I've been so far. I'm reminded of an account that I love to refer to of Jesus, who was with the disciples in the boat. And Jesus had gone down below deck and he fell asleep. And a big storm came and the disciples were fighting and bailing water and doing all they could to keep the boat afloat. And finally they went down and they shook Jesus to woke him up. And they said this, the Bible says they said this. They said, "Don't you even care?" That's what they said to Jesus. "Don't you even care?" Well, Jesus came up to the top deck of the boat and he spoke to the storm and he calmed it. And he turned to his disciples. And what has always stood out to me is that he did not commend them for waking him up. He rebuked them. He said, "O ye of little faith." He rebuked them for waking him up. That's startling to me. But what it tells me is this. Things weren't okay because the storm had been calmed. Things were okay because Jesus was in the boat. They were already okay. Nothing was going to happen to that boat because Jesus was in that boat. When they woke Jesus up saying, "Don't you even care?" Of course he cared. They were all fine. They couldn't tell they were fine. All they could see was the storm. But in fact, with Christ with them, everything was going to be all right. God was going to work things out. And that's why that rebuke came as well. That's just as true in your life and my life as it was in the lives of those disciples. If Jesus is in you, if Jesus is with you, even if the storm is raging around you, you're going to be all right. You're going to be okay. The Prince of Peace is with you. So my prayer for you today, my prayer for me, my prayer for all of us is that we will rest in the peace of God. The Bible tells us in Colossians to let peace reign. R-E-I-G-N, reign. Let peace reign. Let it rule. That means I also could choose to not let peace reign within me. I could let worry reign. I could let anxiety reign. I could let doubt or stress reign. But instead, let's let peace reign. That's what Christmas is about. Come on. It's the Prince of Peace who came. Christmas doesn't always look good, taste good, smell good, feel good, or sound good. We love it when it does, but things aren't always that way. But when they don't, the Prince of Peace is always there with us in our lives. Micah 5:5, as a final verse, prophesying of the coming Messiah, said this, "And he will be their peace." He didn't say the absence of problems will be their peace. He said, "He, Jesus, and he will be their peace." Come on. I got diagnosed this week with COVID. The last day or so, I've been in bed. I thank God for the strength to bring this now, but my fever has been high. I've laid under blankets shaking with the fever and body aches. I've had a rough couple of days, but you know what? Jesus has been right there with me, and he's my peace. He's my peace. He's your peace as well. I want to pray for you now, and then I'll give you a closing comment after I pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you. I thank you that you grant a peace that surpasses all understanding, Lord God. I know for some watching today, Christmas this year is going to be different than it often is. Some are not going to get together with some of the family members that they usually gather with. They're going to miss them. Some are going to have to scale Christmas back because income has been different this year. Some are mourning. There are folks who've lost loved ones this year, and Christmas is just not going to be the same for them. We're just at all different places, Lord God. But I thank you that you are our peace. I pray that over everybody who's watching this right now, whether they're watching it live right now in this 11 o'clock broadcast, or if they're watching this later this evening or tomorrow or later in the week. I know folks watch these services at all different times. I pray that you will be their peace. I pray it over all of us in the strong name of Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Hey, I'm so glad you were still with us. I know this is different than normal. Again, watch your emails and social media so you know what's going on. Our schedule is going to get tweaked a little bit over the next week or so. Our staff members, worship team, different individuals were all with me this week, so they've all gone to get tested as well. Just to I have sought at all times through this to err on the side of caution, and I didn't feel that there was any way for us to gather today and be confident that it was a safe gathering. And so before we come back together again in the room, I want to be able to know that I can say this is a safe gap. Before we met, I was very confident in saying it's safe to be here. You know, we're doing our best to protect everyone. So with several of us, exposed, of course, I didn't feel that we could provide that securely this week. So I want to know that we're being wise and protecting ourselves. So watch the announcements, your emails. Always, you can email the church@silverspringag.org, church@silverspringag.org. If you're not on our email list, email that email address. And if you forget that, Facebook message us or something, we'll get you on the list so we can make sure you're updated. We'll post to social media as well. Sarai's doing well. She'll go get tested this week also just to be safe, but she is doing well. She abandoned me. Our home is large enough that she moved to the downstairs guest room. We have separate bathrooms, separate bedrooms. She forgot all about that part in the vows that said in sickness and in health. No, I'm just kidding. She's been amazing. She brings food and drops it off to me. People from the church have been amazing. You've dropped things off on my doorstep. Vitamins, juice, food. It's been incredible. So God bless all of you. Thanks so much. Hey, I say this so often and I always mean it. Live victoriously in Christ Jesus this week. Jesus didn't die for you so you could live some fumbling along, mediocre walk with God. God wants us to triumph in Him and be more than conquerors as we are. So walk with Him by faith all week long. God bless you.